It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. This morning, we'll hear part of the latest episode of Inside Appalachia, a story about a neon sign maker in Kanawha County. By making signs for businesses, James Day has found a community of friends along the way.
I have made some friends over the years. I don't know, a lot of people I work for, I think they are my friends.
After over 50 years in the industry, James Day has noticed changes, but is hopeful about a neon revival.
I believe eventually neon will come back. Of course, Las Vegas is big on neon. They always have been.
That story's coming up. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Animal rights advocates say the Ohio Valley's varying laws on the treatment of animals can make it more difficult to identify those who abuse them. A national ranking of animal welfare laws scores West Virginia and Ohio well, but Kentucky sits at the bottom of that list, and Kentucky also blocks veterinarians from reporting animal abuse. As Nicole Irwin reports, that could put pets and people at risk.
Now, stand there and be good. Here, I'll scratch your face.
Susanna Johnson tries to remove a fly mask from a pregnant horse she's recently rescued.
Look at that belly.
Johnson is an education officer with the Heart of Phoenix Equine Rescue in Camner, Kentucky. This is Cece, an elderly horse that for 18 of her 21 years has been pregnant. Right now, she's chowing down on grass. Johnson says she's recovering from her previous owner's negligent care. Before the horse was rescued, her teeth were in such poor condition, Cece couldn't chew and digest her food.
You know, some counties define good horse care as the horse has food and water. West Virginia defines it as the horse has what it needs to stay healthy. And, you know, in Cece's case, yes, she had food and water, but it wasn't food that she could make use of because her teeth were in too bad a shape and the food was not appropriate for her age.
Each year, the Animal Legal Defense Fund ranks states on animal welfare legislation. Kentucky, for the last 11 years, has ranked last. Ohio is ranked as 27th and West Virginia as 7th. Johnson says based off the work Heart of Phoenix has done within the Ohio Valley, the Legal Defense Fund's rankings seem accurate.
You know, the difference between West Virginia and Kentucky and Ohio is the West Virginia animal control officers and legal authorities have a lot more control over their cases than they do in Kentucky and Ohio.
Veterinarians say Kentucky is the only state that prohibits them from reporting animal abuse to law enforcement. Kentucky Veterinary Medical Association's Jim Weber says that ban came about as an accident.
We sponsored legislation that would make the records confidential. Unfortunately, it was a case of unintended consequences where we failed to have an exception for veterinarians being able to report animal abuse.
Weber says his group has tried the last 10 years to change the statute, but groups like the Kentucky Farm Bureau have prevented the legislation from making it to the floor for a vote.
The only two ways that a veterinarian can provide information about a patient or a client is by a court order or by consent of the owner of the animal.
Animal welfare officials say the inability to report criminal abuse on animals could have more far-reaching effects.
Animal abuse and domestic violence and child abuse go hand in hand.
That's Ozzie Gibson, president of the Kentucky Animal Control Advisory Board. He says the connection between the offenses is strong.
They'll start on the animal, then they'll work their way to the kid, then the wife, or vice versa.
That's why the FBI began tracking abuse cases in 2016. But Kentucky's ban hinders the FBI's ability to track those incidents. Gibson says it's an area that needs attention.
I mean, to the point that there's going to be a class taught to Louisville Metro police officers next year in conjunction with our animal control officers on what to look for.
Animal control officers that receive any kind of training are in the minority. A lack of funding and absence of state regulation leaves most ACO officers without resources. This is where the Heart of Phoenix would like to help by offering free horse care training to officers throughout the Ohio Valley. Susanna Johnson says if Kentucky and Ohio would support training accreditation like West Virginia, animals like Cece would have a better chance at recovery.
When the veterinarian looked at her the day after she came here, she said, people don't realize what bad shape that this mare is actually in, and it'll be a miracle if she or the baby live through the birth.
Since the interview, Cece gave birth to a healthy foal, Susie Q. Both have been adopted. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Nicole Irwin in Camner, Kentucky.
The Ohio Valley Resource is made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:49. Areas of fog this morning with variable cloudiness today. A chance of rain and thunderstorms, high temperatures in the 80s. Chance of rain and thunderstorms tonight with lows in the 60s and 70s. Mostly cloudy Friday, rain and thunderstorms possible with highs in the 80s. And on Saturday, mostly cloudy skies. Chance of rain and thunderstorms with highs in the 80s. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by Orion Strategies, a full-service strategic communication firm providing public relations, government affairs, creative services, and research and polling, with offices in Charleston, Buchanan, Martinsburg, Pittsburgh, and Columbus. Orion-strategies.com. In recent years, neon signs have emerged as a decorating trend in homes and apartments. But we usually associate them with cities and bars as a signal of bustling nighttime activity. Peggy Lee declares, "I'm going out where the neon sign shines down on the avenue." Simon and Garfunkel's "Eyes Were Stabbed by the Flash of a Neon Light." And there's that Petula Clark song. Just listen to the music of the traffic in the city. Linger on the sidewalk where the neon signs are pretty. The signs that light up many of the businesses in West Virginia's greater Kanawha Valley were made far from the places those songs depict in a workshop on a quiet side street in the small town of St. Albans. The West Virginia State folklorist Emily Hillard visited the owner of the Day Sign Company and brings us this story.
James L. Day has been making neon signs by hand for 5 decades, providing custom offerings to businesses across the greater Kanawha Valley. James started this workshop in 1964 when he and his wife, a St. Albans native, moved from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Name's James Day, James L. Day. And I operate Day Sign Company in St. Albans, West Virginia. I'm 85 years old. I still work every day if I can. Sometimes I don't make it all day.
Having always been artistically inclined, James started out as a hand sign painter, but switched to neon as demand increased for the style, teaching himself the trade after observing other neon sign makers. While neon signs are now ubiquitous, most people don't really know what a neon sign is actually made of, or that they're almost all made by hand.
It's a piece of glass that's bent the way you want to bend, and there's an electrode on each end of it, and filled with gas, and when it's hooked up to a transformer, it'll light up.
James's workshop looks like some mad scientist's den. 3 open flame torches burn at about 800 degrees, providing heat for James to bend the glass into shapes and letters. A manifold with valves and gauges sits in the corner. James uses this to create a vacuum in the glass tubes and pump them with neon or argon gas. Neon burns a bright orange red, and argon burns blue. An electric transformer pulsing with voltage sits next to the manifold, and various lengths of different colored glass tubes hang on the wall and are strewn about workshop tables. Once all the letters are formed, he welds the letters together in the crossfires to connect them into one piece.
Next step would be called a unit then. I would take it over and put it on the manifold, hook it up to the manifold and pump it into it with the vacuum. When it's in a vacuum, it should light up. And then after it lights up, it'll burn the impurities out of it. And after it cools, it's sterile and it's ready to gas after it cools off, yes.
After bombarding the unit with gas, James hooks it up to the transformer. If there are any impurities remaining in the unit, it won't light up. The color of the sign depends on the combination of the gas and the glass.
I could usually make them in a couple hours, making them and putting them together and gas them and blacking them out.
James makes the whole process look easy, but he's constantly making micro adjustments, heating the glass just enough so it will bend without breaking, making sure the letters are formed with the exact angles, and being careful not to overfill the unit with gas, all while trying to avoid injuring himself.
Well, I've always planned on getting burned or getting cut, one or the other, or both, either one. So usually burning is the worst. Yeah.
James is one of the few active neon sign makers in the Kanawha Valley. If you have a favorite sign in the area, you can probably bet he's made it.
Here's the one at the airport for Tudor's and Gino's. Susie's Hamburger here in South Charleston. He's a hunting buddy of mine. In the Auburn Theater, Sam's Hot Dogs. I've done several of them.
Like the old blues trope of the musician who performs in juke joints on Saturday night and church on Sunday morning, James has made signs for both bars and churches alike.
My new home has a flashy neon sign.
After all, neon is that beacon in the dead of night indicating life and spirit, whether liquid or holy.
Yeah, I've done several churches, yes, ma'am, a lot of them, yes. I have done several strip clubs. I done one with a woman on it. We put up at Parkersburg. It had a neon lady on it. And I was going to paint a picture of a naked lady over here on the church after he got his church built. And my wife said she wanted to pose for me. I said, well, it'd be all right.
James didn't end up making a sign of his wife, but he did make one for her, wired into the kitchen lights.
It's says Barb's Kitchen on it, and it's made out of pink neon, which is blue pumped with neon, yeah. It's in the up above the kitchen sink, yes. Mm-hmm.
Through sign making, James has found a community of friends.
I try to make friends wherever if I do something for somebody. I have made some friends over the years. I don't know, a lot of people I work for, I think they are my friends. They seems to be, anyhow.
After over 50 years in the industry, James has noticed changes, but is hopeful about a neon revival.
Mostly everything's going to vinyl lettering, and the neon is going to LEDs, so I believe eventually neon will come back. I think it will come back. I think it has in different places. I think they use a lot of it in different parts of the country. Of course, Las Vegas is big on neon. They always have been.
Regardless, he knows his work will live on. If made well, neon signs can last for nearly 100 years.
I've had them in here, brought them in here before. They were 75 years old and older than that, still burning. Everybody comes in, I say, if you don't like neon sign, there's something wrong with you. And they'll say, yeah, that's right, yeah. Everybody likes neon.
Despite the decline in demand, James is unequivocal about the universal allure of neon, no matter if you're a churchgoer, a barfly, family, or friend.
Standing in the spotlight, chasing that neon rainbow, I'm living that honky-tonk dream.
For the West Virginia Folklife Program in Inside Appalachia, I'm Emily Hilliard at Day Sign Company in St. Albans, West Virginia.
Just trying to be somebody, just want to be heard and...
Emily is West Virginia's folklorist. She worked with videographer Chuck Klein to produce a video of that story. Check it out. You can watch James Day make a neon sign by hand on wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.